let's start. You should have two pages, one from the Sefer by Tzoscha Tancheni, and the other that says on a Mesil Zishar Bilvavi. Two pages. There have been so many interruptions, especially the long winter break, and then the winter breaking everything up. The emphasis, it needs to be a limud with the consistency. It's hard like this, but okay, this is the best. This is the metzias we have. We'll do the best we can. We began learning the Mida of Keser, of Crown. Again, we're not learning any Kabbalah here. We're learning in terms of Avodas Hashem, the Kreches and efforts that we have. And we were talking Barichas. I'm not going to review. That's why we have everything taped, and it's possible to go over the last two or three Shiurim, where we were talking about two basic levels of keser, chitzonius a keser, which we call in our everyday Hebrew rotzen, to want, and pnimius a keser, which is what? Tanug, pleasure, delight. We didn't get to the reisha de los yada, we didn't get to the highest level of keser. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll begin that next, hopefully next year. That's emuna, faith. But rotzen, Tanug Emuna. Rotzen Tanug Emuna are the three levels within the world of Keser. Again, without using terminology from Kabbalah that we're not ready for. We're using regular terms that we're comfortable with, and today we're going to learn something very, very pashut. Very pashut. We were talking about the difference between Rotzen, where it's an Indian of overcoming challenges. Rotzen always means that there's something that's challenging the will that you have to accomplish something, and what that means. And there's the Ish HaRotzen, and what Rotzen is. And we spoke about Tanug. And Tanug is all about that deep inner pleasure when the person realizes and feels and senses in the deepest way that everything has come together in the way that in the deepest way that he truly wants it to be. And we spoke about the personality of the Ish HaTanug, how a person who's in that place of Tanug, how he lives with his family, how he conducts his life. The Rotzen person, the Ish HaRotzen, is a confrontational person by definition. And the Ish HaTanug is a person who lives in the world of Mesikus, of sweetness, of Lis'anig B'Sanugim. Everybody, of course, knows that Chazal tell us that Ritzoneinu Lasas Ritzoincha, that the true Rotzen of a Jew is Lasas Ritzoneinu Lasas Ritzoincha, that the true will, the true intent of a Jew, the true will of a Jew, is Ritzoneinu Lasas Ritzoincha. That means if you open up and get beyond all of the external ritzinus and all of the narishkeiten, deep inside the person, the rotzen is a rotzen for kedusha. The rotzen is a rotzen for emes. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe tells us in Tanya that b'shas ma'ase, if something gets in the way of that rotzen, for instance, if in Perek Yuches Niyotes, that if a Jew is threatened that he's going to be killed unless he converts, then the rotzen of that person is prepared to fight against anything, ad hamavis, ad kedei mesiris nefesh. And the Tanya says, I feel kal shubakalim b'yisrael, even kal shubakalim, not tzaddikim, not only tzaddikim, regular Jews, kal shubakalim, pashtus says, even Jews that are that are not behaving the way they should during their normal lives. But the Ritzaynenu Lasuv Tzaincha means that the inner will of a Jew, the Ratzon of the Nefesh HaElokis, is Lasais Ritzaincha. Obviously, that Ratzon, that true Ratzon, the true will of a person, is often in a state of He'elem, like in the non-religious person, is often in a state of Helem Behester, it's concealed and covered. It's not something which he is consciously aware of in the level of Chochma, Bina, Das, and so on. He's not consciously aware that the true Ratzon that he has is to be a Jew, is a Ratzon of Kedusha. But again, B'shas Maisiv, if it's an inyan of giving up who he is as a Jew, converting and so on, then that Ratzon surfaces in a very powerful way. But Ritzaynenu Lasis Ritzaincha, obviously the Guf also has Ritzaynas. The Nefesh HaElokis wants to go to Shul, and the Guf wants to stay in bed. The Guf also has Ritzaynas. Some of the Ritzaynas of the Guf, some of the things that the Guf, that the body wants, are obvious. When you're feeling hungry, v'chulu. And there are also Ritzaynas of the Nefesh HaBahamas, of the Guf and the Nefesh HaBahamas, that a person might not recognize. B'chachmaso uvinoso. Sometimes in therapy it comes out that there are certain types of the Nefesh HaBahamas that he didn't realize that he had such problems, such issues and such types. Now we believe, and we're going to talk about the Emunah Mitzvah Hashem for the next few shiurim, we believe that Hashem Yisbarach designed a Jew in such a way that when a Jew is Mekayim Torah Mitzvahs, and even though we've been told this since the Talmud children, those who were raised in from homes, and this might bring back some bad memories, that's okay. But there's truth to it. Not that there is truth to it, it's true. That when a person is Mekabel upon himself, Ol Malchus Shemayim, and even though he doesn't feel the Ratzon to put on tefillin, he doesn't really want to keep Shabbos. He doesn't really want to show up for Seder. I don't mean Pesach Seder, I mean Seder and learning. He doesn't really have that Ratzon that's conscious, that has penetrated his Chochma Bina, emotionally, Chesed Gvut, has nothing, he's dead. But he has something in him, could be what he thinks is pressure from his parents, his grandparents were killed in the Holocaust, he feels guilty, whatever. Something is pushing him, and he musters up enough of a secondary will of a Ritzaynenu Lasis Ritzaincha to somehow get the tefillin on, to somehow open the Gemara, and to somehow stay with Shabbos v'chulu. That shibud of a person, listen carefully, that commitment of a person to carry out the Ratzon Hashem, despite the fact that his conscious Ratzon doesn't really care. His conscious Ratzon feels detached. But he has something in him which he can interpret in any way. They can write books about the guy, why he's doing it. Doesn't make a difference. He puts on the tefillin. For a minute. Puts on the tefillin, takes him off. He is in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he walks up in his bathing suit and his bath slippers to hear Kiddush, and he falls asleep in the wine in the grapes. Something got him to Kiddush. It's an Indian that he has to go to Kiddush. That those forced Ritzonos, or the non-Ratzon obedience to a deeper Ratzon, that somehow, according to the Torah, is mezakech the guf, it refines the body. It removes germs and bacteria of the Nefesh HaBahamas in a very, very deep and amazing way, which I'm not going to right now. And even though he doesn't know why, he puts on tefillin anymore. I was talking to a guy, not yesterday, the day before. I was talking to a guy on Sunday. He told me he never missed a day of tefillin. And he said to me a lesson like this: I never missed a day of tefillin since I'm a mitzvah, and I can't think of one day that I that I felt like putting on film. And I never missed one day. And the guy's in his 40s. They never missed a day of film. Somehow, we believe, and again, where that comes from, we're going to talk about in the Inyan of Emunah. But somehow, that simple physical act of putting on film, of making Kiddush, of whatever, of resisting Elohim's essay, just that shibud is mezakech the rotzen. It has a way of refining one's will. It has a way of lessening the hold that the nefesh Bahamas has over this person's nefesh elokis, over his godly soul. When it comes to tanug, when it comes to the deeper part of keser, pnimius keser, tanug, that deep desire for pleasure that motivates, that moves the will of a person to fight against anything that's in the way of that desire being met. Tanug also can, tanug obviously also is mispashet into the Nefesh Bahamas. That doesn't mean any. People have tanugim, lasanibi tanugim. They have all kinds of tanugim. They have all kinds of tanugim. You have a guy that his biggest tanug in life is sitting in a schwitz, you know, sitting in a sauna or something. It's his biggest tanug. When he's in there, he feels like this is Gan Eden. There can't be anything better than this. He sits in a schwitz. He's a happy person. He's sitting in the schwitz. That's his tanug. It was the tanug, a tanug of a person, a tanug which really is a very deep part of a person, but the tanug of a person can be mispashet and be mislabesh and all kinds of things that are external to the nekud ha'atzmis of who the person is. So he has a tanug. They call every takeout place nowadays is called oinig or tanug. If you look at the names of the taxis, the car services in Borough Park, you think that it's talking about Pnimius HaKeser. I'm surprised they don't have yet a car service that's called, you know, Atik Yoimin or something. Maybe they do. I don't know. The names of the car services, with these Russian drivers that, you know, the names that they have of these takeout places and car services, and all the lashonis of the biggest tanugim that a person can have. A tanug can be mispashit, all kinds of narishkeit. The person has his biggest tanug in life is watching a ball game or something. It's his tanug. That's what he enjoys. It's his biggest tanug. And he's misanig m'chol minei tanugim. The tanug, the Indian of tanug, is mispashit to Nefesh Bahamas as well. It's obvious. But here, chaver, we're touching upon the aside of chinuch, of educating our children and educating ourselves, of raising Jewish children and raising ourselves. Take a look in the page that you have, the one that says on about Soscha Tancheni. Now let me give you a little bit of a background. I decided that we're going to shift from the chassidus and the nista that we've been learning, again not Kabbalah, but the Pnimius HaTorah that we've been learning, and to try to translate what we have just now learned into mamish, into something which is poshet ma'od, very very simple, very very simple. So sof kol sof, everybody who went to yeshiva over the years, obviously if someone started going to yeshiva later in life, they might have started later, but anybody that went to yeshiva at some point, it could even be as early, I remember when we were in fifth grade, that we had a 5-minute thing in Mesil Sharm, where the Rebbe sat and we had Mesil Sharm in front of us, and he would read from Mesil Sharm, and then he would close it, and he didn't explain it, just read Mesil Sharm. We looked inside a little bit, I guess, so we looked inside and read Mesil Sharm, and then back to Bava Metzia. The yesod of the entire Mesil Sharm, which everybody here knows, the Ramchal was a Mekubal Eloki, and it's all based upon all of it's the shlavim, the phases, the levels of Avodas Hashem, from the beginning, from Zahiris all the way through, Ruach Hakodesh, Tchias Meisim, these all madregas that follow the 10 spheres. And the beginning of the Sefer, the Sheresh, of course, Yesod HaChassidus for Sheresh Avodat Tamima, she's Bar Yisab, and he says, Al-Odom, Machavosa Balama. And the Ramchal explains at the very beginning that the tachlis of our being in this world is what? L'is'aneg al Hashem. It's tanug. It's the tachlis. It's tanug. L'is'aneg al Hashem. It's the tachlis. The whole Mesillas Yesharim is built upon that. Obviously, tanug is pnimius hakesher. Everything must flow from that place of tanug, of pnimius hakesher. This, which is the nekuda hapnimius of Mesillas Yesharim. And Mesillas Yesharim is the sefer which is mekubal al kol achugim. Everybody learns Mesillas Yesharim. And yet, that basic nekuda upon which the entire sefer is built, tanug, is for the most part missing. Not from the Mesillas Yesharim, it's missing from that. It's missing from the chinuch of the children. And it's missing from the chinuch of the adults as well. Now there was a yid, there's a yid in Eretz Yisrael, I just forgot his name right now, and he wrote this sefer about Soscha Tancheni, the three chalokim. Haven't you seen it? No? It's a very, very choshev sefer. I don't think that he's a chassidish fellow. It's clear to me that he's learning the Svar Makadosha. He got into a little bit of trouble because he was writing things that were so clear and so true, which is very controversial nowadays. And two summers ago, I read this svarim, and I called him up. I almost called him up. He has his phone number in the sefer to thank him for bringing down elokus in such a clear and simple way. The whole sefer really is a perush of the midah of tanug, but it's written in the simplest way for any person who learns Torah to be able to open up and to get it. But it, of course, it takes up really takes up the entire sefer, two svarim, three svarim. So let's learn inside quickly, and then in order to strengthen the Torah that we learn here, we're going to see something from Rav Schwartz, from the Belavi Mishkan Evne, on Mesillas Yesharim. So let's look inside first. In Perek Yud Beis, Bat Sosra Tancheni, I believe this is Chelik Beis. The name of the chapter is Revach Ishi Mikiyum HaTorah, personal benefit from observing Torah. Mao HaKoach HaMiniyah Es Adam. That's the question that we've been dealing with for the past few months. Mao HaKoach HaMiniyah Es Adam. What is the koach that motivates a human being? Koach HaMiniyah. What is it that motivates, that drives, that pushes a person? In modern Hebrew, they use the word manoah, an engine. An engine. What's the engine of a person? That's the sugi that we're in, keser. What's the engine? Kol anshei ha'olam poalim umisamtzim b'shvil lahasig mashu. Everybody in the world. Everybody. Is poalim umisamtzim is doing stuff and making effort, b'shvil hasig mashu, to get something. I mean, a healthy person, people that don't want to do anything. But every healthy person wants. It's b'shvil hasig mashu. They're polim u'misamtsim, they're doing stuff, and they're misamtsim, and they're making a big effort. B'shvil hasig mashu, in order to get something. Yeshna manoshim, she'b'shvil k'tzas kesef, hem yasu akal. There's some people who, for a little bit of money, They're ready to stay up 24 hours, do all kinds of things for some money. Hatshuka litzbor kesef, that longing to accumulate wealth, Mesugelas Lahotziosam has the ability to motivate millions, billions of people. Lahotziosam Habayis Beshemesh. Get them out of the house to stand in, to be in the sun, or when the sun rises, I'm not sure what he meant over there, and to stand on his on their feet for hours. Lamad araglaim shows haruchos. Voldehenes mikach, and they're enjoying themselves, running around, business, making money. So that desire for money motivates most of the world to do things that stand they wouldn't normally do. Yeshem anoshim shemuchanim lizbazos bavur manos al kugel. Then we have already a different chevra, a chevra of people that are prepared to do to disgrace themselves, to like push over an old lady at a smorgasbord, and to run with a pitchfork to get that last piece of kugel before they take it away. Because they start to play the music and they're taking away the kugel. And he makes a desperate step. Could be that he hurt a few people along the way, but he's going to be misbazed to get a piece of kugel. Hey, Mr. Golem, la shevis bekiddish, ba'ulam besa knesses, achre et fila b'shabbos b'hoker. You have people like this that they're able to sit Shabbos kiddish in shul after davening, im chalif mechubedes, in a nice suit. Ulamale es salachosam mikol haba liad le'ene kulam. And to pile on a plate with everybody watching, they're not embarrassed. To pile, to make a plate of food. This is a kiddush. Yeshnam anoshim shebishvil sheyichtivu aleim moda b'itan hamakaymi b'nusach tashis l'rosh ha'teres paz. Then you have another person for whom the most important thing is covered. And he'll do anything. Just to see his name in the newspaper, where it says a fancy lashon, Tashos L'Rosh HaTeres Paz, that the crown of glory is on the head. You know, they use all these fancy lashonos. Brochos Malifos Nizga Kamei, and if it's in Aramaic, it sounds even fancier, right? Hey Muchanim L'Sameitz V'Lizbol Shonam Aruchos, you have people that are ready to work for years. Lila Kabul Shum Toivus Ana, without any financial reward, not even a piece of kugel, kimat. But for covet to see the name in the newspaper, and that motivates them, that drives them. And they could be the nicest, finest people, and if for some reason the name was left out of the newspaper, they're more dangerous than the guy at the smorgasbord. And get completely tzibrachim, and are prepared to destroy other people. If the name wasn't mentioned when the rabbi said, and thank you very much, a big yashakayach, or if it didn't get into the newspaper or something like that. Not for money. They don't care about money. It's covered. Yeshnam anoshim shemirayv kinna b'shchenim. Then you have people that because of the jealousy for neighbors, al hatzlachosim hakalkalas b'k... because of their financial success, the neighbor's success, v'ramas chayeim hagavoa, and because the neighbor has a very high standard of living, muchanim liikanis namarbeilah shel chayves v'sachur muchlat, they're prepared to get themselves into a complicated, terrible trap, a web of all kinds of chayves, of all kinds of debts, to be able to keep up with the next door neighbors. Hakol kedei liskois. Gam came bediras pe'er, just to be able to have a luxurious apartment, a home, v'rechav chadish, and the latest model car, lo lefager achrei hashcheinu ha'miskadmim, not to fall behind the neighbors. B'mabat shidchi, when we look at things on the surface, he writes, nira shekayomim ba'olam harbe sugim shel ritzonos. We see many different types of ritzonos. Any types of motivations. Harbe sugim shavitzaynus hamusugolim lahaziz esa adam, that have the ability to move a person to do something. A bachur was telling me last week that a lot of what he does is just with the intention of causing his parents agmas nefesh. He hates his parents. And he said he tries to think of all different things that he could do to get back at them. And that gets him moving in life. Otherwise, he wouldn't have any purpose in life. His tachlis, he said, for the meantime, until he feels that he can get even, is how to aggravate his parents, how to cause them chalila, agmas nefesh. That was tainus on. To cause them agmas nefesh. But that gets him to do stuff. So he'll go to a certain kind of a place or a certain kind of a school, even though he doesn't want to do that, as long as it will cause his parents to get upset. He'll do that. All kinds of itzaynus that move a person, the ligurim lehis ameis, and that will get him to make an effort. Harotz nekesef, we just saw some examples of the most popular. The other, he's everything's here, b'loshen nekiya, obviously. Rotzen lekesef, rotzen leachol to eat, rotzen lekoved, akina b'chaveiriv, gaiva, rotzen lenekama, to take revenge, kaz, anger, busha, b'chahein the rabbim, because he doesn't say the inyan of arayis. And these are all ritzaynus that will drive a person to make an effort to get what he wants. Aval, however, on the bottom. So that's all b'mabat shetchi. When we look at it on the surface, there are many, many, many different types of ritzaynus. These are just some examples. Many types of ritzaynus. Aval b'mabat mamik yoseh. But when we look deeper into this, nir shema achare kol hadugmos anal, and we dig underneath all of the examples that. Rotzen to eat, the rotzen for cover, the rotzen for money, and so on. But when we go underneath all of those, I made yisod echad. Of course, there's one yisod. Yeshno rotzen mesuyim hakayim etzel kol b'nei ha'adam. There is one rotzen that is by every human being. There is a yeshno rotzen mesuyim hakayim etzel kol b'nei ha'adam. And then it morphs into other sub-ritzaynus. But there's one rotzen yesodi that lies beneath everything. Ha'adam writes, she yelo tov. That's all. Ha'adam writes, she yelo tov. Person wants good. It should be good for him. Ha'adam writes, she yelo tov. He wants to be mischaber. There's something that he envisions as toiv. He wants to be able to feel the ani, me, is being satisfied. One person thinks that'll be through money. Another person thinks it'll be through eating. V'chein hala v'hala. Now, my yigrum lo is ahargosha toivah. So what's going to cause him to have this feeling of tov? Zed dovish mishtanmi arlom. That changes by everybody. That changes, that's different. Totally turn over the page. Totally bedarge shalom. Say that depends on the person's madrega. But if you have what his personality is and how hard he works on himself. I mean, what he imagines will satisfy him, will give him pleasure. Aval yisod shava etzel kulam. But the yisod is the same by everybody. Adam roitze shiyeh lo tov. Zemasha dochef oso. That's what's pushing the person. The rotzen to be misanik. Is that clear? That's olive base. From the time that we're babies. Adam roitze shiyeh lo tov. So That's what drives the person. Yeshnam anoshim shechoshim b'tchusha toiva rakesh shehem emalim is taivas achila. There's some people who they feel tov, that they feel good. They identify the good of their lives when they satisfy their appetite for food. Yeshnam anoshim ktsas pochus nemuchim. Right, that's already a very low madrega. But then you have people who are on a little bit more of a refined level. Shetoiv lehem rak shahaplus bebank godel. This is a very Israeli cipher. That these people feel good when the bank they're on the plus side, you know. And that's just everybody lives taking credit out from the drawing from their bank account. So for this person, he's not a baltaiva for food. But his toiv, what he thinks of in the world, is something which is deeply satisfying and that pushes him to kill himself at work, whatever it might be, is to be on the plus side in the bank. Then you have a higher madrega. That they're back to the people that they want to be, they want to have their name in the newspaper and they feel good about that. Obviously, that they think everybody cares about what's in the newspaper. Then you have people on a very high madrega. It's a very high madrega. That it's toiv lahem when they see that it's good by other people. But they can't stand to see people who are hungry. They can't stand to see people who are suffering. And that drives them, it pushes them to do what they can to help other people. And the toiv in their life, this is a very high level, the toiv in that person's life is that it should be tov bayanim, by the other person. It's a very high madrega. But sof kol sof, that too is something that makes him feel good. I feel harotzel in the karma. Even the rotzel from the karma, the rotzel to take revenge, the underlying yesod of that rotzen of nekama is not that it should be bad by the other person. I will feel good when I'm even with that guy. I want to feel good. I don't feel good as long as I'm not even with that guy. The underlying rotzen of nekama is I want to feel good. I want to feel that I even things out. Ha'odama pagua, a person who is insulted. Margish purkan unechama purta. He feels something of a nechama. Bezeshu noikem bepogeya. When he's able to take revenge against the guy that insulted him or injured him, he feels something. He feels good. Kaloshna Ramchalak Ramchal says in Perek Yud Aleph, ki oda margish ma'oid be'al benoisav. A person is very sensitive and suffers terribly when he's embarrassed, when he's humiliated. Umitztar tzar gadol, his big tzar. Revenge is sweeter than honey. Mesuka midvash. Kihi menuchaso levada. Because only revenge will give him peace. So the shurish of this rotzen to take revenge is not even to hurt that person or to insult that person. It's that I should feel good. The way that can be accomplished is by nekama. Gamar rotzen lahete lazulas. Now we talk about the person on a higher madrega, that his rotzen is to do good for other people. Again, not to get publicity. I'm not sure. We're talking about a chosh of a person, not for publicity. Gamar rotzen lahete lazulas nove al pi rov mitchushes rachmim. Al pi rov, it comes from a feeling of rachamim, that you have rachmanis on the person. It stares you, it bothers you to see this person that's homeless. It bothers you, it hurts you to see this person, let's talk about a higher level, that's far from Yiddishkeit, a Jew who's far from Yiddishkeit. It stares you, it bothers you. Mahit chushas rachamim. What is this feeling of rachamim? Regesh harachmim hu ke'ev ishi. It's a personal pain that the merachem is feeling. Hanigrim la'adam kashu roya mishu saiva. That when you see someone that's suffering, it upsets you, it hurts you. You don't want that unpleasant feeling. The way to end that unpleasant feeling is by helping the guy out. Pamim rabbis, many times, come over and look, tabi, not always. Adam shemirachim al azulas, when a person has rachmanis on somebody, who misamits lazul and he tries to help him, ba'omkil shodvaram einzim mishum shu reitzu shilashani yatoiv. It doesn't necessarily even have to be that the true thing, the true rutzen here is that it should be good for another person. He wants that it should be good for him because he can't bear this person's misery and suffering. Okay, it's a very good thing that he feels that. He can't bear it. So he doesn't want to have that bad feeling anymore. So in Europe, they felt bad about the Holocaust for a couple of years, the guy, you know? A couple of years, they felt bad about the Holocaust. Not everybody. I wouldn't even say a mute hanikar. But a certain percentage of goyim in Europe felt bad. The Holocaust, not so nice. What happened over there, Poland and Germany. So people, but that already is wearing off. It already wore off. And because of the bad feelings that they had about what happened, the way to get some nechama from feeling bad about themselves, so they built now in Warsaw a huge Jewish museum. I saw when they were building it. My wife and I were there a few years ago and they were building this museum. But the big museum in Warsaw. They built a museum in Russia. So now the goyim could take people on tours and they feel good. That we already, there's kapara, this mechila slicha kapara for what happened over here in Europe because we have a museum. It's not because Be'etzem they want that it should be good by the Jews. That's why they build a museum. Or that's why they do certain things. It should be good for Jews. Because they love Jews. No, it's because they don't want to feel that bad feeling. Bad feeling that they have from all of these years of what happened over there. So to free themselves from that feeling. So they'll do certain things. But then once it became popular to switch the word Jews with Zionists, so then they have they can still feel that they really like Jews. V'haraya, we built a museum. We just don't like Zionist Jews. That's all. We don't like occupiers of territories, but we really like Jews. Omnam yeshnam gam dargus gvosios yeshodem be'emes munim betoyves azulos. Of course, they're madregas and madregas of lishma, higher levels of lishma, where a person be'emes wants that she just be by the other person, just it should be good. You see in the bottom footnote too, the lashon of the chavis levavis. The person who has rachmanis on the poor person, because it's hurting him, and he wants to umekaven ba lidchos tzar me'al atzmo. He doesn't want to feel this tzar. He wants to get past this tzar. Hashem etzohu me'agmes nafshoy u'keivel mishacham lalav. On the bottom line of the regular text, the tshuka to feel good is the strong, the longing to feel good, the need to feel good is the strongest need in the world. And it's that which is pushing, motivating, and driving the entire world. Lefiza, on the left side now. Lefiza, according to this, im natsliach Lagila Matsev Shabainovin Shahargosha Tovish Lonot Luyabaza Shania Sadiq. So according to this very simple yisod that we just learned, if we could somehow succeed in the tzliach lagila matzav shebo novin shahargosh, that we could be convinced, that we could actually believe and be convinced shahargosh hatov shelanu, that to feel the best feeling of all, to feel that you have achieved the highest and most gratifying tov for yourself, would be tluya b'zashenia tzadikim. Would be if I could be a tzaddik, for me to be a tzaddik. If I would be a tzaddik, that would be the ultimate tov. That would be the ultimate tanuk. L'sanag al Hashem is the ultimate tanuk. If I could feel that way. If I could feel that way. L'havdil, you have Olympic people that compete in the Olympics. I remember reading over the years of these Olympics, they have people that they're training so many years, so many hours a day, what they're doing. To be able to have the tanug of being able to stand on the thing and they play the national anthem and they put a necklace on them. And for years and years, to get up like 3 in the morning and to run around the whole day. To go swimming the whole year, for years and years, to go swimming back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. What does a person have an Indian to go in the water so much like that, back and forth, all day long, back and forth, in the water? But he believes that the ultimate taif is that accomplishment of winning the gold medal. Or you had people that were explorers, that they had this inyan to go out and to risk their lives. Many gave up their lives to go find someplace new that nobody went to before. If we would somehow be able to convey to our children and to ourselves that the greatest good, the greatest pleasure, the greatest tanug we could ever anticipate, dream of, hope for, is dveikus b'Hashem, then that would solve all of our problems when it comes to motivation. That would be the ultimate gold medal to become the Kedushas Levi, to become Rabbi Levine, to become a Chassam Sofer, a Gra. That would be. So, many good people have convinced themselves that the way to do that is by hanging up a lot of pictures of these people in the world. And just telling them that this is the best thing in the world. These are the best people in the world. If a person does not feel be'emes, that this is the toiv that I want in my life, and that being a Jew is the ultimate tanug, pleasure or delight, whatever is driving him is something else. Not the ani, not the etzem, not the mohus. You understand? Something else. Could be covet, could be guilt, could be a cultural thing that he wants to fit into a certain culture, and in this culture everybody wears a yarmulke and sits whatever. But if we could somehow convey to our children, to ourselves, that the greatest tanug in the world is to be a tzaddik. Now let's stop for a second. Let's be brutally honest with ourselves. If we take a tzaddik, to Chavetz Chaim, we've read a lot of stories about the Chavetz Chaim and how he lived and how sparsely he lived and how he spent his days. Could we honestly say that in our minds and in our hearts there can't be anything better than that. And don't get mixed up with Olam Haba, because everybody right away starts to think, oh yeah, because I want to go to Chavos Chaim's Olam, I want that Olam Haba. Not talking about his Olam Haba, talking about his Olam Hazeh. Not the Olam Haba, leave that. His Olam Hazeh. His Olam Hazeh. That to be such a tzaddik, to live the life of a tzaddik, is the ultimate tov. If we believed that, then every single waking hour of our lives would be with that fire of wanting to accomplish that which you and I believe is the ultimate tov, is the ultimate good. If we Bamis believe that. But if we think that it's great to have a Chavetz Chaim in the world, it's great that we had such a person, a Chavetz Chaim, and I'm really, really grateful to Hashem's Baruch that there was such a tzaddik in the world as a Chavetz Chaim, but it's not for me. Shkoyach, it's not for me. It's not for me. I prefer to have central air conditioning and you know, and heating and... That floor is not mud, you know. And I'm going to sit for like 19, 20 hours a day. It's hard for me to sit for two, three hours a day learning. I'm glad that there's a Chavetz Chaim. I would be very proud if my kid turned into another Chavetz Chaim. But as far as I'm concerned, it's not my thing. A little learning, a couple of Maisim Tovim, watch out a little bit for Lashon Hara now and then. So it won't be the gold medal. It's not for me. So that's not your tanug. In the old movies, when a guy would sit down at the bartender would ask him, what? What's your pleasure? You didn't see those movies, huh? What's your pleasure? I'm talking about like 1945. What's your pleasure? What's your pleasure? The whole musig could only be a choice of the bottles that are over there. Of what's your pleasure? What's your pleasure? Can you imagine if the Baruch Shem are lying there in bed on a cold winter morning and the Minyanim are passing by as you're lying there? You know, it's already six is for Fallon, seven is for Fallon, eight is for Fallon. So you're lying there and the Baruch Shem would lean down himself from Shemayim to say, my entire, my beloved child, what's your pleasure? What's your tanuk? What's your tanuk? The problem with the chinuch, I'm not blaming anybody, so we're all in the same boat. The problem with the chinuch is that we haven't been able to convey to our children and to ourselves that the greatest pleasure on earth is to be a tzaddik. That I want that because I envision that as giving me the greatest satisfaction. And since that nekuda of tanug, of lisanig l'Hashem, is missing, for the most part, pnimis hakeser, the inner point of the crown of a Jew, is darkened and dimmed. So we're all trying to muster up some ritzainas, but they're all secondary, tertiary, v'chulu v'chulu, ritzainas that are not the primary rots. Of Lisanig Lashem. Of Lisanig Lashem. You want to say something?
Yeah. I hope this is a good question. I'm not sure. But it might be a dumb question, but.
Just the same chance of me saying something dumb? Also. So.
So I'm just wondering, I mean, like, just like the pictures on the wall, and we have all these biographies about Rabbanim. It seems to be all these Sadiqim, meaning all the Sadiqim are people who spent most of their lives learning Torah. I'm saying, like, it's. I guess what's portrayed is that's like the only shaykh way to become a tzaddik like that. How exactly does one like fit in the cholder chachadei of being a businessman, like, and becoming tzaddik? We don't have books about those guys. And, like,
well, they're starting to put out some books like that. Baruch Hashem.
You feel like there's no other way.
Okay. By the way, it's a very good question. What's that? Very good question. And it's a very good question, and that's why Ivy's 100% right, even though I don't want to get off the Indian, but Ivy's 100% right. And of late, Baruch Hashem, there are some accounts that we have of Yidden, who their thing was not to sit and learn all day. They didn't have the zitzfleisch to sit and learn all day. Unfortunately, he was a good friend of mine. We were together every year for many years in the mountains, Shlomi Gross. They came out with a book about Shlomi Gross. And from what I understand, the Velde went crazy from the book about Shlomi. Shlomi was a Yid that his whole life was to help other people. He was just a mitzias of kindness in a very, very rough, tough and rough type of an exterior, which was not real. He was the softest person in the world. But they put out a book about Shlomi, and people went meshuggah from the book. Even when the book started to come out and we began to know more about Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel, right? It wasn't typical of the usual stories that we hear, because there was a picture in the book of when he graduated Ida Crown in Chicago, you know, and that he was on the basketball on the varsity team or something like that. So everybody was meshuggah also with Reb Nosson Tzvi. Reb Nosson Tzvi spent a considerable percentage of his adult life not necessarily giving shiurim. He gave a lot of those too, a lot, but building yeshiva and raising money and so on. There's more of an awareness that we have to show the children models of erlichkeit, of motivation for kedusha, where you have great people who are not dafke sitting and learning all day. It's happening, but it's not enough. You're right, it's happening. But not all of these people, not all of the great people, are necessarily great in learning. Now, of course, there would be those who would hear us have such a conversation and say, that's not possible. It can't be. If someone's not great in learning, he's not a great Jew. Right? That's people that from that mahalach, that they're convinced that's the truth. But that's not the truth. It's not the truth. The Rebbe Shlomo is much bigger than that, and Yiddishkeit is very big. There are great people who are not great in learning as well. They're great people. And there's more that we need to hear about such people. That's why the book about Shlomi Gross, from what I understand, made a huge impact, because there are people who can't sit and learn. Well, just a little bit, but they can't sit and learn. And they read this book and they said to themselves, you know, I could be like Shlomi. I'm a nice guy. I could do that. I could help raise money. I could go out and do stuff for people. I could be like Shlomi. It's a chosh of a thing. It's a chosh of a thing. But the yesod of all of this is that unless I believe be'emunah shleima, that the ultimate tanug of my life would be to be a tzaddik. And again, the definition of tzaddik is broader than many people will make it, to be a tzaddik. If, let's say, someone would say to a healthy 19, 20, 21, 20-year-old, 22-year-old bacher, I want to tell you something. Somebody comes over to you and says, I want to tell you something. I'm offering you the greatest tanug in the world. And you say, yeah, what? That you will never, ever, ever the rest of your life look at any woman other than your wife. Wait, how does that sound? Good? Sounds good? We're in? You didn't get it? Nachamal, listen. Somebody comes over to you, a novi, a tzaddik, whatever it is, and he says, you want to be an Eilech Yid? Avil, if you want to be an Eilech Yid, fine. I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to help you, because I have koiches. I'm going to help you, that you're going to be able to have the biggest tanug. There's the greatest toif that I could do for you, Avi, in the world, is to take away from you that you should have ever, ever, ever the slightest interest in looking at anybody besides your wife. No interest in anything. That's what I'm asking you. You're in. Are you in? Okay. It's a madrega. A person might say, like, what about every second Thursday between 1 and 2? Is there a modified program? No. You absolutely, bechlal, not going to have any Indian like this the rest of your life. Nothing. I only have eyes for you. That's it. Nobody else in the world, nothing. You're not going to have any pleasure at all. B'chlal not. And I'm going to do that for you, the Navi tells you, the tzaddik, I'm gonna do that for you, so you should have the biggest tanug that you'll be free completely from this whole inyan of looking somewhere else. And you'll never, ever, ever have any inyan interest, bechlal, to look anywhere. That means your whole tayvus notion is finished. In such a way. Finished. An average person, and I'm talking about, I mean, a regular, an average Ben Torah would have to be very, it would be very, very hard, I don't know, to say that he would consider that to be the greatest Torah that you could do for me in my life. It's the biggest Torah that you could do for me in my life. The biggest Torah. Or someone would say to you, I'm going to do for you a different offer. I'm going to do for you the biggest Torah. You're never going to have to worry about money the rest of your life. Ever. Yeah? No, but there's only this is the catch. You're going to have to sit like Rav Yosef sat in that shul for like 90 years, 95 years. You're sitting at one place, but I'm going to take care of all your panas. You don't have to worry. You don't have to go out to make a living. You just sit and you learn. But you consider that to be the biggest talmud. Remember, you don't have to worry about any money. All the daigas of panasa, the people crashing and crying and struggling, nothing. All your panasa is taken care of. There's only one tanug, and the tanug is a tanug of Torah, and therefore, I want you to have that pleasure till 120. I give you 100 years of life, sitting at an old shtender, some rickety bench, some old base medrash in Yerushalayim, but you never have to worry about anything else. No one's going to bother you. Just learn. Do you think that's the biggest tonic in the world? Again, what about the Super Bowl? Okay, I just want to take off for the Super Bowl. Is that okay? Because every year we have like a little thing we get together. Would that be all right if you have like a Gdolim Super Bowl get together? Are you all right with that? Just a little bit? Or how about, you know, I like to take a look at Mishpacha magazine every now and then. You know, to see how the other Gdolim are doing, you know? Nope. Just to sit by an old shtender in an old Bissa Medrash, no problem, the air conditioning in the summer, heat in the winter, food, all you need. Everything is fine. And all you've been saying for the last 20 years, I just want to be able to learn in peace. Everybody's hacking me and bothering me. I just want to be able to sit and learn. And the Navi comes over and says, like a genie, your wish has come true. Your desire is my command. Command is my desire, whatever. I don't remember the lush. I'll do it. It's taken care of. You never have to worry, but you have to sit and learn the whole time. It means that you have to have such a tanuk to sit and learn like that. And you've been telling everybody for years. You've been telling everybody in the family and friends, I just want to be able to learn. I don't want to have to deal with the English. I don't have to deal with the tests. I just want to learn Torah. So someone says, good, next 80 years. It's all yours. Whoa. I didn't mean like that. I just meant a little bit, you know. I enough to read the Gemara with my kids and stuff. I don't, you're getting a little bit. Oh, it's getting. So we don't want to be with Moshe Feinstein. We don't want to be with Yosef. We don't envision that as being a big talmud. Mostly, we envision that as being a very hard life, a very difficult life, an unpleasurable life, not a pleasurable life, not a pleasurable. Even though at the end of his life, Rav Yosef was being driven around in a golf, you know, in a golf cart, it wasn't much of a car, you know, to speak of. So we don't envision that as a pleasurable life. And because we don't see the underlying tanug, and we don't feel that, now kids don't, we're having a hard time convincing them to keep Shabbos, to put on tefillin, to learn, to daven. We're only tapping into secondary Tanugim, other things with Sinus. Not the Tanug that the Ramchal Sefer, the whole Sefer, is built on. Lis Anig El Hashem. I will continue. Don't lose the pages. Hold on, please, to the pages. Yeah, whoever didn't damar.